This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Andrew Berry talking about keeping four quarterbacks, which I know everybody is wondering if that's a possibility. I just think, Danny, if they keep all so here's what I'll say. I actually do think it's there's a pretty decent chance. Like I'll say like 77% chance that they actually do keep all four on like the initial cutdown day, because they did the exact same thing last year. And if Andrew Berry is trying to facilitate some sort of trade with the team, I could see him being like, let's keep all these guys initially. Then somebody will probably call their bluff or maybe trade for one. And then they'll have to.
It's posturing. Yeah, like I do think that these comments are made and it's like, see, we will keep four quarterbacks where we don't have to trade Kenny Pickett. We don't have to trade Joe Flacco. We will go into the season with four quarterbacks on the roster because teams will call that bluff. Like, yeah, and I don't know what the trade interest is. And I know we had a conversation at the end of the show yesterday about the New York Jets with Justin Fields and him being carted off.
Turned out not to be that big of a deal,
which, you know, I think him riding in the front seat of the cart as opposed to the back of the cart probably gave that away in real time. But I do think that we have to wait and see what needs other teams have. But even then, I don't know who's going to be interested in Joe Flacco. I don't know who's going to be interested in Kenny Pickett. And I think last year was a little bit easier to sell the idea of trading one of the guys because I think the room was better than it is right now. Like I don't think any team's going to want to trade for Joe Flacco because of his age. I don't think teams think Kenny Pickett's good. And I don't think a team is going to give you more than a third round pick for Dylan Gabriel or a fifth round pick for Shedeur Sanders. And if that's the case, why would you trade them?
The only player to team connection that I know makes sense is Pickett to the Saints because the Kellen Moore connection. That quarterback room is very, very young. There's not a single person who hasn't played more than like a year on the team. So that's the only one that really makes some sense. But this is why, like, I do think there's a world where they keep all four, at least through the initial 53. What I was going to add to that, though, Danny, is like, I just think it would be asinine to start this actual regular season with four quarterbacks on your active roster. And part of this for me, too, is if you keep all four guys, you spend all of training camp doing all this stuff, making a decision on who your starter is going to be, it just feels like you didn't really make a decision. Like, it just feels like you're like, well, we're going to choose this guy, but we also don't feel great about it. So we're going to keep all of them so that we have some options here as well. And I think you owe it. Like, we've talked so much about the veterans on this team, how the Browns are trying to win now while rebuilding in a way and getting younger. And if you keep all four, I think it sends like the wrong message to the team of like, hey, we got these four guys and at any moment we could pivot to the next one. It's like the old, like, if you have four quarterbacks, do you really even have one?
Well, I mean, they don't have one,
but they have to at least put up a front to the team. Like, we are confident that this is our guy. Which is also part of the conversation of like, how soon do you need to make that decision so that that guy can start building chemistry with the team?
Well, if they don't go into the regular season with four guys on the 53-man roster that play quarterback, then I think the question becomes, okay, well, who are they cutting between Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett? Because I do not see, and I know you're going to bring up the Saints, and I know that you have brought up the Saints for Kenny Pickett, but I don't see avenues to trade Joe Flacco or Kenny Pickett. And you're probably not going to cut one of the two rookies because why would you? You just invested a draft pick in them. And I also don't think you're going to fetch that equal draft pick in a trade for one of them. So how are you going to opt? Like, you are going to, if you don't go into the regular season with four guys on the 53, because if you do waive one of the rookies, they're not going to get through to the practice squad. I just don't think that is something that would happen at that position.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting with those two guys too is like Dylan Gabriel could look good in there's definitely teams out there that probably liked Dylan Gabriel. They probably just didn't like Dylan Gabriel as much as the Browns did, right? Like, they wouldn't have taken him in the third round.
I don't think those guys would be able to get through the practice squad.
And
if Shador Sanders got cut, I think they'd be claimed.
Shador, for a different reason, I think brings intrigue to some team who's like, hey, there's, you know, second or third round talent there, but, you know, was a fifth round pick, and you also get the social media craze, like the fame that comes with it as well, which I guess in some respects, like, teams would probably think about to a degree.
I mean, it might not make sense because you don't want your backup quarterback to be a distraction.
That's true.
And I think if you're claiming
he has to go to the right team,
right,
for that,
the right situation,
like a team that has
franchise quarterback.
He'd have to go somewhere where it's like he's not going to be a distraction to Josh Allen, for example, right?
Yes.
Like something like that. But I don't know. Like, are we looking at this wrong? Like, would they actually cut one of the rookies?
I don't think so, because I do not think that Andrew Berry likes to admit that he's wrong on his draft picks. And I also do think, to be fair here, through one training camp with a rookie quarterback that was not a first round pick, I don't think one training camp is enough to know whether or not a guy is going to be good at that position. Right? Like, they are very slow to give up on their own draft picks, which, yeah, I understand why. They're certainly not going to do it on a third or fifth round pick after one training camp at that specific position.
I agree.
It's like a wide receiver that you pick in the fifth round and you can just tell right away, okay, this guy can't play, he's not an NFL player, I think that's a little bit different than a quarterback.
Like Anthony Schwartz was, but
They didn't do that.
I think you're right. Like, I lean very much under the idea that Andrew Berry doesn't like cutting his draft picks. I think last year, I could be wrong about this, so don't fully quote me on it.
And to be clear, no executive likes cutting their own draft picks. This is not an Andrew Berry specific.
Yeah. I think last year, they released Nathaniel Watson, and they might have actually released Juwan Briggs, too, and then brought him back in the practice. They brought both back on the practice squad. That might have been, like, the first time that he didn't keep all four, or all, like, you know, however many picks he had in a draft, rounds 1 through 7, like, keep all of them on an active roster in a season. So, yeah, he rarely does that. Most executives are going to think that way because you just invested draft capital in them. You're going to sort of bank on that, giving them a chance to pan out. What's also sort of interesting is, like, if you ended up having to just cut Kenny Pickett, I think people will look back and be like, well, that was a waste.
Yeah.
You gave up a young, I mean, listen, I don't think DTR was much of anything in terms of, like, a player that's going to play in this league. But you did give him up and a fifth round pick. And we know how important draft capital is for this guy. And this is kind of where it ends up, where you just kind of release him. Like, what was the point of even making that trade? Like, there will be some repercussions for that if that's where it ends up being. But I don't know that the Browns have thought that far ahead. I think they're just kind of focused on, hey, who's going to win this job first? And I think they want it to be Kenny, to be honest with you. And if it's not, they'll cross that bridge when they come to it. But yeah, like, you're kind of hoping and wishing that somebody takes the bait and trades for one of these guys that time of year once you get to roster cutdown.
Well, and this is the box they put themselves in. Mm-hmm. They put themselves in this box when they drafted two quarterbacks, because had they not drafted Dylan Gabriel in the third or Shador Sanders in the fifth, just one of them, had they only drafted one of those guys instead of two, this is a much different conversation, because there's no issue about going into, now maybe you add a fourth as a camp arm to have that you have no worry about cutting, and everybody can see the writing on the wall there, but you could go into the season with three quarterbacks and nobody would bat an eye. Like, we would not even be talking about it right now because we would know what that quarterback room would look like. But when you invest draft picks into two guys after acquiring two other guys, oh, and by the way, you have a fifth guy who is on the PUP list making a lot of money that I think we all hope does not play this year.
Yeah.
But I think that it's just a very sticky, complicated situation to be in.
Ross Tucker was on Afternoon Drive yesterday. He chimed in on the Keeping Four Quarterbacks thing, and he actually had an interesting take on not only them being there after roster cutdown day, but being there week one, and then what that quarterback situation looks like through the season.
I think they are going to keep four quarterbacks potentially. And I think, man, I'm going to say they give Joe three or four games, and then they go to Kenny for three or four games, and then either Dylan Gabriel or Shador for three or four games, and then the other one. That'd be good for you guys to look up. How many teams have had four quarterbacks start four or more games? I think there's a real possibility that the Browns can set some records here this year.
Not the records you want to be known for, Ross.
I guess it'd only be three more names because one of the quarterbacks on this team already played and started for the team. But just throw three more names up on that that jersey in the window there. Yeah, listen, I think that's the worst possible outcome because my stance all along has been, I get if they don't want to put the rookies out there too early and you know throw them into the fire and ruin their careers potentially if they don't do well. And so starting a veteran to start the year, especially for those first six games. But if they don't try to get some evaluation of these two rookies before the end of the season, I think you're doing yourself a disservice because you might be drafting a quarterback again next year. So if you then throw another quarterback into the mix and you're like, we're going to start Flacco and then Kenny and then the two rookies, and they only really get three or four games apiece, you get no evaluation of these guys. And I like that. That to me is the worst possible thing that you can do. I also think it says that, yeah, you're going to make a quarterback decision in a couple weeks here on who you think the starter is going to be to start the year, but you don't really feel confident in it. And I think that sets the wrong precedent for a team that's trying to win now while also rebuild a little bit. Like, hey, this is our starter, but only for now. You need to pick somebody and stick with it to a point where like they can start developing chemistry, getting comfortable with those guys, and they have some semblance of like who's going to be the starter. How the last couple of years have gone where you've had four different quarterbacks, in some instances five different quarterbacks start for this team, you need some stability. You can't go into the season like, we got four guys we can choose from and we feel pretty good about it. I just think that means like you're extending this competition into the regular season. I think that's a bad idea.
But I don't think that they're going to have stability. Like they have, since the team returned to the field in 99, they've had five seasons in which three different quarterbacks have started three or more games. And I would anticipate this being the sixth season where that happens.
I'm surprised it's only five, honestly.
That's what it's at. No, I mean, they've not ever had four start three or more games, but they have had three start three or more games five different times. I would imagine that's where we're at this year. One of the rookies is going to start at least four games. Kenny Pickett's probably going to start multiple games, and Joe Flacco is definitely going to start multiple games. That is where this franchise is at because they don't have a franchise quarterback, and they have nothing that even comes close to resembling it.
Not even Shador Sanders, huh? 216-474-92.
I mean, maybe, but not now. You can't say that right now.
How can we fix the quarterback situation in Cleveland? What is going on, Baker? The jersey is now a list of 25 people. Is it a curse? Why can we not get this right? We draft you, the best quarterback in college history overall. What's going on? What's happening?
Listen, I plead the fifth, but I don't know. When I was healthy,
yeah,
I was starting to get pretty damn good there. Problem anymore.
Ooh, Baker Mayfield throwing some fireballs on the New Heights podcast with Cleveland natives Travis Kelce and Jason Kelce this week. Yeah, I thought it was a pretty interesting conversation he had with those guys. That was one of the more enlightening clips. People were trying to like make a thing out of him being like, not my problem anymore. I don't have a problem with him saying that.
I mean, it's not his problem.
It's quite literally not his problem anymore.
It is not his problem whatsoever. Like, I don't have an issue with him responding the way that he did. If anything, I would be, if I were him, I'd be annoyed that I'm still being asked about this. Like, yeah, that has not been part of his career for a long time now. When's the last time Baker Mayfield took a snap for the Cleveland Browns? It has been a very long time. Yeah. Yeah. And if I were him, especially considering he has gone on to have some legitimate success with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I would not want to talk about everything that went wrong in what were probably the darkest days of his NFL career.
Can I be honest, though? I kind of think he...
I'd say Carolina was the darkest days.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's fair.
Carolina was a time. Days,
which does get... You know, nobody wants to talk about that. Nobody wants to talk about how he was bad here and then worse somewhere else.
The Carolina career kicked off with a 52-yarder from Cleveland to win the game down there.
Yeah, New York, baby.
Remember he released the shirts? It was like Baker Mayfield off the leash and... Everyone was like, "Oh, his revenge game." And then Kate York,
shirts didn't ship in time
York
for the game.
Is one of the bigger draft busts for the Browns, especially in relation to like a kicker. and he will still go down as being the guy who hit a 50-plus yard field goal to beat Baker Mayfield and make sure that he couldn't get revenge against his
team. We'll always have that day.
I'm going to be honest, though. I think Baker kind of enjoys talking about the Browns because I just think there's a pettiness to Baker that I actually do admire, because I can be petty like that sometimes about certain things. And I appreciate the fact that, like, I think you need some of this in sports, like people who do hold grudges and are seeking revenge and all that. So I kind of think he gets a kick out of answering questions about it to a degree, because it gives him a chance to, in some respects, take little digs here or there and, like, reflect on that time and bring up that, like, maybe he thought he was done wrong or whatever. And he knows the Browns are never going to say anything about it, because the Browns never say anything about anything. So, right.
Well, why would they comment
right,
on it?
Right. So he kind of gets a chance to get, like, this last laugh type thing where he gets the last word on it. And I do think he kind of enjoys that.
I mean, he does get the last laugh because he's gone on to have a successful career, whether or not it was in Cleveland or somebody or somewhere else. But I think the thing that we failed to bring up, and the thing that makes this sort of a bad faith argument when talking about the Browns screwing this up, is Baker was not going to become what he has become here. He needed to grow up. He needed to fail in the NFL. And that was not going to be something that happened with Cleveland. I think he needed teams to give up on him in order to find the success he has found. And I am happy Baker has found that success. I think he's an easy guy to root for in the NFL. And I wish it was happening in Cleveland. I really, truly do. But I think when you look at the situation, you can remove yourself from it by a few years the way that we have. I think he needed to grow up. And I think he needed to be given up on the way the Browns gave up on him, and then the way the Carolina Panthers gave up on him. I think he needed that to happen in order to find success. Because let's not act like Tampa found him as like, oh, this guy's going to be awesome right away. Like, we got such a seal. Like, no, he was in a legitimate quarterback competition with Kyle Trask in Tampa Bay at a certain point. Like, this is not been some smooth sailing for him. He was also
following in the footsteps of Tom Brady, by the way. And right. I don't know that Bucs fans are, like, all that upset that, like, not that you forget about your time with Tom Brady as your quarterback. But he's kind of made that transition go pretty smoothly, where people aren't like, hey, we need Tom Brady. You know what I mean? Like,
But nobody thought that was going to be the case when it first happened.
For sure. For sure. Now, it's funny you bring that up, because I found myself, after listening to bits and pieces of this interview he did with them, rethinking my thought process on what you just said. Like, did it need to happen? This was another clip from Baker that I thought was maybe the most interesting part of this, where he talked about his personality and how that's been handled other places he's played. Here, listen to this one. Here's what he had to say.
I mean, you've played well at times everywhere you've been, but in Tampa, it's really gone to that next level. What do you think has led to that?
This isn't to on the other teams and franchises. When you step in and your GM and your head coach say, hey, just be you.
Yeah.
After I've been told at every stop and everywhere I go, hey, you need to tone it down a little bit. You need to be a franchise quarterback. It's just not who I am. Like, I wear my emotions on my sleeves. You guys know me. I'm going to talk. I'm going to do whatever. But when it's time to turn the lights on and go do something, I'm going to do it. So when I stepped into the building, they all told me to just be myself. And so it's been, not to say like comfortable, but it's felt like home since the beginning. And that's awesome. A quarterback that's been through a little bit of a journey, you can't ask for anything else.
Again, audio courtesy of the New Heights podcast. So this is what sort of sparked this question, or this rethinking of this for me, Danny, because I get it. There was some growing up there. There was some... The I think it was Ron Jaworski at the time who reported it, like the "we need an adult in the room" comments that sort of surfaced about how the Browns were approaching the quarterback situation that offseason, and they just felt like Baker was too immature. I also know, this has been very well reported, that the locker room was very split when it came to Baker. Like, how the OBJ stuff went down, him and Miles didn't always get along, and I think that stemmed back to the night he hit Mason Rudolph with his own helmet.
I would agree.
And Baker called him out on national TV, because that's just a big no-no when you're on a team like in a team setting like this. So I'm not saying all those things didn't play a role here, and that ultimately led to his...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Demise here in Cleveland, and it was all sort of put in this bucket of he needs to grow up and mature and dial back the personality.
But I don't think it was like he needed to dial back the personality. I think he needed to mature. I don't think there was ever an issue with the personality. I think there was an issue with the immaturity.
But he's sitting there saying that, like, everywhere else he's played, he's been told, hey, you got to dial this back a little bit. And that's where I got curious and wondering if they had just let it. If they had just kind of let it, like, who's...
Did he need to dial back the personality, or did he need to mature a little
bit?
Because I don't think there was ever an issue with the personality.
Do you think the Rams told him to dial it back? Because he wasn't there long enough.
Well, he wasn't there that long. I think they probably were just
They also called him and said, hey, it's Tuesday and Thursday we have a game. You want to play
desperate at that point, so yeah.
I think they said, just listen to Sean McVay and things will work out for you. And he listened to Sean McVay. It's like, goodness, this guy's good when he listens to the coach.
There's a big difference between being the number one overall pick and being a free agent quarterback going to your fourth team and the expectations of you from the organization saying, hey, we put everything into you. You're the number one overall pick. We went 0-16 last year, too. We just had the greatest quarterback of all time, so... Do whatever you want to do, right? Yeah.
Well, and listen, I am not going to deny, like, yes, Danny, your point on he needs to mature is 100% sound, and I've said that, and I agree with that. But here's the other part of this, too, that I don't know if we've talked about enough. Wouldn't a good organization be able to help a guy mature in their... Like, think about it like this. People don't think... I disagree, but there's a lot of people who think Shador Sanders... isn't like mature enough for this stage, right? I'm not saying the Browns think this, but there's a lot of people who are like, he's got a lot of growing up to do. And also, all the stuff we talked about with Quinshon Judkins, the Browns have a history of taking guys with off-the-field issues. That is also a testament to how immature or mature a guy is if they're getting in certain situations and they're doing certain things. And this team takes gambles with all those guys because they believe we have the infrastructure to help them get through this, help them mature, and never let it happen again. So if they think that, and there's other organizations around this league that certainly believe they can draft guys that have a brashness to them or a cockiness to them or, you know, talk their talk and have more out there personalities that are going to be on display and even have off the field issues that they think they can figure out and get settled and not let it be an issue moving forward. The Browns are a testament to all the teams that believe that they can help guys mature within their building. Why couldn't they do that with Baker? Because that's my question. Why could if they think they can help all these other guys mature, because, why couldn't they do it with Baker?
Because you can't. You could not pay when a guy that very clearly needed to grow up, which I think that last year here where he was trying to play through an injury that he had no business playing through, and it very clearly affected things on the field. And I look back at the game he missed against the Arizona Cardinals. Remember, it was, I believe they played Houston the week before and he dislocated his shoulder again. I think J.J. Watt tackled him and dislocated his shoulder. And he wanted to play through it, and like it was bad idea, and everybody except for him knew it was a bad idea. So what did he do? He ran to Jay Glazer and told him, the team's not letting me play through this. And Jay Glazer had that report that came out on Fox, like, I don't know, 30 minutes before kickoff of that Thursday night game. And that was, to me, sort of a turning point here. It's like, okay, these two things are not aligned. And I do think it is unfair to compare him to guys that have had serious off the field issues. Not to say that Baker has been a saint off the field. Like, I know there's that video of him in college running from the cops and getting tackled. And
yeah, that was a big
thing. That thing on Colin Cowherd where Colin made fun of him for not necessarily running from the cops, but getting caught by the cops, which maybe not have been a great sign.
The day Colin Cowherd had him on his show and he was just like disproving everything he said was one of the best days in Browns fan history.
Right, but I think that when you talk about the level of maturity for some of the guys that you bring up, like a Quinshon Judkins, and I just think that is so apples to oranges because of what Judkins did off the field, has such a higher level of seriousness to it than the Baker stuff. But you're also asking him to be the face of your franchise. You're asking him to be the franchise quarterback. And when things are misaligned and you get to a point where this guy wants a lot of money and you don't feel confident in him being able to be that franchise quarterback, that's where I think you run into the issues of if he would have grown up and not needed to fail in multiple places, because I think if the same thing doesn't happen in Carolina that happened here, that we just never talk about as happening, like he was cut by a team that traded for him, 10 weeks into a season? If that doesn't happen, he does not become what he is right now. It wasn't just, the Browns gave up on this guy too soon. No, it was two other organizations saw it and said, you know what, you're probably not our future either. And I think he needed to hear that from, because when Carolina gave up on him too, and the Rams elected not to bring him back, it wasn't just, the Browns are being the Browns. It was, no, a couple of other organizations, including one with a very, very respected offensive mind of a head coach in Sean McVay, when they decided not to bring him back, it's like, okay, maybe it wasn't the Browns that were the issue here. Maybe Baker did need to do some soul searching and did need to do some growing up. And listen, he deserves a ton of credit for doing that.
Yeah.
Because he's turned his career into an incredibly successful one. And I'm happy for him. And I think a lot of Browns fans are happy for him. But I also think it's foolish to say the Browns screwed up because he couldn't grow up here. I think that he needed to go through some things in order to grow up. And I do sort of wish that he would come out and say that, because I think that's the truth.
He has said that before, and I give a lot of credence to the idea that he needed to experience what he experienced to probably get to where he is. I'm not saying that it was, you know, I hate that we're already rehashing this anyway, because, you know, every time Baker drops a quote, we like circle back to it. It's like another conversation on the radio. I get it. But at the same time, this was the first time that I kind of took a moment and was like, you know, he's kind of got a point in like the maturing thing. And like, if he was told like dial your personality back and all these things. But here's the thing though, for me, like, If this regime had taken Baker, I guarantee you they would have tried to stick it out and try to be the people that were maturing him. They wouldn't have tried to send a message to him the way that they did by releasing him and saying like, good luck to you, go figure it out somewhere else. They would have tried to mature him their own way within their organization. So it can and that's my larger point here, is like, it could have just been that he wasn't their guy, he was a John Dorsey guy. And so they didn't want to take the time to mature him, because, yes, you're right, it's not necessarily fair to relate a serious thing like what Quinshon Judkins is accused of to Baker Mayfield just being sort of arrogant the way that he is and say it's apples to apples. And but that also, I think, proves my point to a degree, because it's like, if they think they can mature the guy who's got the off the field issues, the more serious stuff, why can't they, quote unquote, rehabilitate the guy who's, the only issue he has is his personality is a little bit like,
well, that's not the only issue he had, because there was also the issue of he wasn't very good that last year. Like that's
the thing. Hurt, which is something else.
But
said.
He was also playing terrible.
Yeah.
Like that's part of it. Because what did Kevin Stefanski say that popped up with the when OBJ was here? Personalities are welcome. Production is required. You know what was not here with Baker at the end? Production. He was terrible. He was one of the worst quarterbacks in football that year. And that's part of the reason why.
If they were telling him to suppress his personality, though, too, then that was also, I mean, not that we believe Kevin Stefanski doesn't lie ever, but like that was also not really a true message to how he was going to run his team.
No, because there were no issues with his personality when he was playing well the year before. It was when he was playing terrible. That's when it was an issue. In 2020, when he was awesome, nobody had issues with this. It was in 2021 where he was trying to play through an injury so he could get a contract extension that it became an issue because he was playing horrible football.
And then he shaved his mustache three times after.
Yes. Like that. Those are the issues. If Baker would have played well in Cleveland that last year, we're probably still talking about him as the Browns quarterback.
Or if he didn't play at all, if he just sat out.
If he would have hurt his shoulder because Anthony Schwartz stopped running a route too soon.
Damn you, Anthony Schwartz.
And then that would have been it for the season. It's a lost year for the Browns, and nobody feels good about it. But the Browns then probably signed Baker to a contract extension at a much more palatable number than what Baker wanted after 2020. And I think that you feel much differently about things because he probably still is here. And maybe he doesn't turn into what he is now. But I think when the production went away, the personality couldn't be what it was.
Ultimately, I think he did need what he experienced. But I this was the first time listening to Baker talk that I was kind of like, the Browns think they can mature all these other guys. Why couldn't they have tried it with Baker? And I thought it was worth bringing up.
Now the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
About last night.
We'll get to the Guardians game here in just a moment. We had some Guardians-related news last night. A trade about a week out from the trade deadline occurring between the Arizona Diamondbacks and the Seattle Mariners. The Diamondbacks sending Josh Naylor out to further into the West Coast for a bunch of prospects and players. And this is a deal that got some people really talking here in the city of Cleveland, how just half a season of Josh Naylor you had to give up for a pitcher in Slade Ciccone. So have the Guardians won this trade already?
I think so, but I think it's more so about what they've done with Slade Ciccone since they got him. Because Slade was not some highly regarded prospect that they got from the Arizona Diamondbacks. He was somebody that I think a lot of people around baseball had some serious questions about. And I do think that the Guardians, to their credit, have found the secret sauce with developing pitchers. And yeah. Slade has turned into somebody that I think we can look at as a potential member of this rotation for the next 4+ years, right? Like when, and I know that we talked a lot about the Guardians yesterday, but when I believe they're going to open up a legitimate World Series contention window, I think Slade Ciccone is part of that starting rotation. So I think that is a huge win. And they were never going to re-sign Josh Naylor. And I don't think they should have re-signed Josh Naylor. I think this was the right move at the time. And I think it looks even better today.
I think it's fair to say they won the trade. It's hard to push back on that, given the Diamondbacks spent just a few months with Josh Naylor in their, on their roster anyway. I just wish they had won the trade by getting an offensive player in return. And that's nothing against Slade Ciccone, because obviously, like, again, the Guardians have mastered the ability to develop pitchers who aren't even necessarily like the top guys that get drafted or whatever.
Right.
But that's my point, is if it wasn't Slade Ciccone, it would have been someone else that we would have trusted them to develop later on down the line in a different trade. I just wish they had gotten like an offensive-minded player back in return for Josh Naylor, because that's the thing that you're missing this year. But yes, I can't sit here and like nitpick and say they didn't win this trade. This to me solidified that it was a trade win for them.
I'm the same way with you with the offense, because we've seen the peak of Josh Naylor being the all-star last year. He was not one this year, but yeah, it would have been nice to pick up a bat for a game like yesterday, which the Cleveland Guardians fell to the Baltimore Orioles in their series finale 4-3, despite one of those players having a solid performance at the plate in Stephen Kwan, the first multi-home run game of the All-Stars career. Stephen Vogt talking about his performance after the game.
I mean, we haven't seen him get through balls like that for the last month and a half. I mean, he was really battling that wrist. So really good to get him the time. I had a much needed recovery for him. So he had a great homestand. Glad to have him back clicking at the top of the order.
Well, it feels like a lifetime ago. We were talking about that wrist issue he was having and why he went to go play in the All-Star game. We were blaming people for the potential decision. And yeah, it seems like Stephen Kwan's back on track now.
I just wish somebody would have followed up that response from Stephen Vogt by saying, okay, so he's hitting the ball again. The wrist is good. He had first multi-home run game. So are you guys going to pay him now?
I mean, I don't know that that's a question for Stephen Vogt, but he is the guy that I would love.
He's the one who's out there, though, every day.
Like, he is. And
although they did talk to Chris Antonetti like a week ago.
Yes, so this is similar to Kevin Stefanski with a lot of the off-the- and I know this is apples to oranges, but Kevin Stefanski shouldn't be the one that has to answer to all the off-the-field stuff. In the same way that Stephen Vogt shouldn't have to be the one for the Guardians to answer for whether or not they're going to sign guys for contract extensions and, you know, transactional things that they may or may not do. I really, really hope they can find a way to keep Stephen Kwan.
Yeah.
Like, I really, really hope that. Because if not, we're going to be talking about him being traded a year from now, and that's not a world I want to live in.
Yeah.
I would prefer for Stephen Kwan to sign a contract extension here. I think what he does is extremely sustainable, and I think that he's just so good defensively and offensively that he is the type of guy you want to commit money to. And I think we would look at this offseason much differently if, when they traded Andrés Giménez, they would have extended Stephen Kwan shortly thereafter with the money that they opened up. And that's, I think that would have colored the offseason differently for me. And I think that if Stephen Kwan were signed up for the long term in Cleveland, I think this season, where they're sitting at 500 after going to the ALCS last year, not getting better this offseason, I think it'd be a little bit easier to swallow.
I think that's well said. People definitely would have looked at the offseason differently if that's how it would have played out. I also think, too, I don't think people have a good sense at this station and really elsewhere of like how much money Stephen Kwan's really going to command. I've heard people on this show say $30 million a year. I've heard people on the afternoon show say $25 million a year. And then we've had MLB guys on who said like, probably more in the range of like $15 to $20 million a year.
Yeah.
Which, if it's $15-$20 million a year, like, you absolutely should pay him. If it's that, like, that, sure, that seems like it's somewhat doable. And I brought it up too. If you pay him, that contract's not going to kick in for a couple years anyway. Like, you could time it out where like Jose Ramirez's contract is in the later years, and you're only really having a crossover between the two big money contracts for a couple years here. So yeah, given what I think the money, the amount actually would be, I think you absolutely have to try to pay Stephen Kwan. I think he's obviously proving that point even more with the game he had yesterday.
Especially if you have teams like out on the West Coast that may be potentially giving him, offering him more money for the same amount of years. Giants. Going over to, going over to Big Ten Media Day, rather. We'll get to the Moore from Michigan that I will want to talk about later on in the show. But Sherrone Moore, the head coach of the Michigan Wolverines, talking about One new policy for his team this year in regards to what happened last November in Columbus.
There'll be no more flag planting. There'll be no more grabbing the flag. You know, we talked about our new tradition and what we do when we win a game. Go meet the band, go sing our victors, and stay over there until the other team's apart. And that's how we'll operate. Go be together as a team and then leave as a team.
I don't know, man. If I'm Ryan Day, I'm playing two flags in the middle of Ann Arbor if they get this victory this November.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, it's very arbitrary because he can say, my team's not doing it anymore. But this isn't like, you know, the NCAA or this new college football collective committee coming down and being like, no more flag planting, guys. This is just him doing it. This is just him saying it. Like, Ohio State, they could win next year. And maybe Jeremiah Smith, who said he's never losing to Michigan again, is going to run out there and plant the flag as like revenge. So I don't think we've seen the end of this. I think there'll be some sort of, you know, especially if Ohio State wins, I think they're, because those guys don't forget. I know Jack Sawyer's gone and he's like sort of, he'd be like the leader of all of it. But I got a feeling like they'll have something ready. I don't know if it'll be a flag planting, but they'll do something. Run around the stadium and like kiss the fans goodbye. Like they'll do something to get back at Michigan when it's all said and done, even if Michigan is taking themselves out of it.
If Michigan wins that game last year and doesn't plant the flag and there's not the whole post-game altercation that happens.
Where Ryan Day looked like he
where saw pepper spray is, you know, administered and stuff like that. Does Ohio State go on to win the national championship? Let's just say they just lose to Michigan and the post-game festivities are normal. Are they as motivated in the postseason as they were?
You're not even just saying the Michigan loss is what caused their playoff run?
I think the flag plant had more to do. I think the flag plant was more motivation for them than losing to Michigan.
There's no way to know the answer.
But there was definitely more salt in that wound with the flag plant than if they would have just won the game and acted like, yeah, and we've won this game now, what, 4 years in a row, 3 years in a row, however long it's been?
We do know that that entire ordeal, the entire experience, did spark a team meeting that was apparently pretty like emotional, and there were some hot, you know, moments, and Ryan Day was part of it. It was like players only plus Ryan Day. I think that meeting probably still does happen after.
I don't know if it has the same fire.
Maybe not, but I think it probably still has close to it just because, like, I think those players knew, like, dude, what the hell was that game plan? And I think it centered mostly around that. Like, what are you doing here? You got to get out of your own head. And, you know, I don't know. I think it still leads to them having the run they had. But I do like the thought that like it was strictly just the flag planting that sparked it.
Whatever the motivation was, it caused the Buckeyes to crack Nico Iamalieva's helmet twice in the first playoff game. That's it for about last night. He actually did claim that the other day.
Yeah, he shared that at Big Ten Media Day. I saw that as well.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBnetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.